If you've listened to the show for any length of time, you know that I'm a big fan of connecting with locals when you're traveling someplace. If you're just going to be inside the tour bus, then you might as well stay home. The best parts of travel for me are when you get out into the marketplace or into the cafe where you meet the locals and have a chance to interact. If you're also looking to experience this, then check out Explore Worldwide, whose local tour leaders will get you off the beaten track and into the heart of the adventure, helping you get past being a tourist, experiencing local culture, and finding places you would not find by yourself. And isn't that what travel is all about? If you're thinking about your next adventure, head to exploreworldwide.com to find out more. This week's episode of Amateur Traveler is sponsored by Expedition Unknown. Do you know that there's proof that Robin Hood might have been a real person using underground passageways under England to rob the rich? Or that gold coins discovered on the beaches of Florida might be connected to a Spanish treasure fleet that sank in 1715? On the Expedition Unknown podcast from Discovery, Josh Gates travels the world to investigate history's greatest unsolved mysteries. He'll take you through Russia and Germany looking for stolen objects of great value pillaged by Nazis during World War II, to Nepal to uncover mysterious caves high up the mountains, or to Peru to uncover the meaning behind giant geoglyphs drawn into the earth hundreds of years ago. I met Josh and interviewed him on This Week in Travel. Now it's been 12 years ago. Can't believe it's been that long, but that tells you how long he has been out there looking for stories like he's sharing on the Expedition Unknown podcast. Travel the globe with Josh Gates as he investigates some of humanity's greatest feats and most iconic legends. Listen to Expedition Unknown where you get your podcasts. And thanks to Expedition Unknown for sponsoring this episode of Amateur Traveler. I got my bags packed on a roll. I'm heading out there and I'm ready to go. I'm looking real good in my passport photo. Oh, no. Amateur Traveler, episode 772. Today, the Amateur Traveler talks about beaches and surfing and extinct volcanoes, Polynesians and Poi and Pearl Harbor as we go to the island of Oahu in the Hawaiian Islands. Welcome to the Amateur Traveler. I'm your host, Chris Christensen. Let's talk about Oahu. I'd like to welcome to the show Nikki Thornton and Denny Caldwell from dennyandnikki.com, who have come to talk to us about the beautiful island of Oahu in Hawaii. Denny and Nikki, welcome to the show.
Thank you.
Happy to be here, Chris.
Excellent. And what is your connection with Oahu?
We ended up moving to Oahu during the middle of the coronavirus pandemic. I actually got a teaching job there. So we were looking to make a move and this happened to come up and we'd actually never been to the islands. We didn't even know that there was multiple Hawaiian islands. So we just ended up okay, making a move and seeing if it worked.
Yeah, sometimes it can be quite impulsive like that. But we made a move to Oahu and it was an absolutely amazing year. And we have seen so much and Oahu will always have a special place in our hearts.
Excellent. Well, and to put it on the map for people, obviously, we are talking about the Hawaiian Islands, plural, and Oahu, not the biggest of the islands, but the most populated. 90% of the population of Hawaii lives on Oahu. Why should someone go to Oahu?
Oh my gosh, Noel, let me start by saying that the beaches are incredible. We thought that we had seen pretty beaches, but not when you come to Oahu. That's when you'll really see the crystal clear blue waters, turquoise colored. The beaches are incredibly, the sand is incredibly soft. There are palm trees. And the most beautiful thing that we have seen on the island is the beautiful mountain range that is sky high. And you really get that Jurassic Park feeling.
Excellent. And what kind of itinerary are we going to recommend to people who are coming to Oahu?
We would recommend that when you come to Oahu, stay in Waikiki. That's going to be where the most hotels are. And then we can stay there. We can explore the city of Oahu. And then we can work our way around the island.
Yes. Okay.
And then what are we going to do while we're in staying in Waikiki?
There are multiple beaches there to explore. Of course, the famous Waikiki Beach, mm-hmm. but we actually like two other beaches that are close to Waikiki Beach, which is Fort de Russie and Ala Moana. They are just as beautiful. The waters are incredibly blue, but there's just not so many people there. So we think that those two beaches should definitely be checked out on your trip to Oahu.
Well, and before we do that, so we mentioned that Waikiki is a little more crowded. It's also a very small beach.
It is.
By Hawaiian standards.
Yeah.
It's a very, there's not a lot of real estate there.
No.
So are the other beaches larger also, and where are they compared to Waikiki?
So Fort de Russie Beach is actually part of, I think there's 8 beaches that make up Waikiki. So you have that Prince Kuhio Beach that is in the central part, and that's where you take all the pictures.
Right.
And where they do all the performances at. Right. But if you walk down the beach a bit, you'll see a place with a huge park, and that's Fort de Russie Beach. It's centrally located there in Waikiki, and generally it is a little bit bigger, not too much,
okay.
but it also offers an opportunity to sit on the park, and that's sometimes just as good as the sand, especially if you don't want to get too dirty before you go out in Waikiki.
Yes, and then Ala Moana is right next to Fort de Russie, and Ala Moana does have a larger, wide-stretched sandy beach.
Okay, and so I'm heading up towards Pearl Harbor, up to the northwest from the main Waikiki beach. Got it. Okay, terrific.
Yeah.
Where to next?
Next, I think you're going to want to get something to eat. So you've came to Oahu, and you're going to want to try out some different food. I think the great thing about Hawaii is it has a Asian influence. So when you come to Waikiki, you can get Japanese food, you can get Korean food, Chinese food, and it can be quite authentic. So we always like to go to a restaurant called Momosan, and it's actually right on the beach in Waikiki, and they offer ramen. They're going to offer those drinks that's on the beach, and they have great service too.
Yeah.
Now, I remember, so this sounds like it's a relatively inexpensive by Waikiki standards restaurant?
Yes, it's about, with the two of us, we can eat for about $30.
Okay. Because this is not the cheapest of the Hawaiian Islands.
No.
And the Hawaiian Islands are not the cheapest destination. It's not like going mm-hmm. to Thailand or someplace like that.
No.
I'm thinking one of the other cheap places that we had, and I don't know if it's still around, but Puka Dog that did hot dogs in downtown Waikiki, where you could get the lilikoi sauce and all of these. You mentioned the Asian influence, Denny, mm-hmm. where you could get all sorts of flavors that you were not used to having, was also a wonderful, inexpensive spot in the area.
Yeah, we actually ate at Puka Dog in Kauai. But we are not sure if it's actually still on Oahu. We have not seen it.
Yeah, I'm not sure that it's still there.
Yeah.
One of the amazing things about coming to Hawaii, and this was one of the first things that I saw driving around, is when you go to the 7-Elevens there, it's completely different than the West Coast. They have a smorgasbord of Asian food that you can just pick up. So if you're driving around the island, you can stop into one and get the famous spam.
Musubi.
Musubi, yeah.
What is musubi?
Okay, so musubi is, imagine a rectangle-shaped rice ball.
Okay.
And then there's a thick layer of spam on top, and around it, it's wrapped in seaweed.
Okay.
Yeah.
So it's kind of, so it's spam sushi is really what I'm getting.
Kind of. It's really big spam sushi. Yes.
Okay. I do not know that.
But also in the gas stations, you can get your spicy ahi sushi, you get all kinds.
The connection of Hawaii to spam I've always found fascinating because my father was actually stationed in Oahu during World War II. If you have to be stationed someplace in World War II, it's probably the best place to be stationed. He was stationed in Sand Island, which is the island that makes Oahu Harbor into a harbor. Mm-hmm. And he used to tell a story about one of his people in his unit who wrote back to his mom that they never get any meat. And so she saved up her rationing coupons and sent him like a 5-pound can of spam. And they got lots of spam. They just didn't get any meat. He wasn't counting that as meat, but it seems like sometime during that time period, Hawaii fell in love with spam, and you can get spam on your hamburgers and spam in your other various ways. It's a very Hawaiian thing for some reason.
Yes, and we noticed when we did our groceries there that they have a pretty large selection of Spam in all types of flavors, jalapeno and cheddar and so much more.
That's funny. Where to next?
All right, so Waikiki is a great place to kind of stay and have your hotel there, but we really recommend to go ahead and get out of Waikiki because it can be kind of touristy. So we're going to take you into the city of Honolulu, and we're going to say that you should check out a really cool and up-and-coming neighborhood called Kaka'ako. And the reason you should go to Kaka'ako is, one, you're going to get a real good feeling of the modern issues in Hawaii, because they're going to have all these murals that they've had expertly painted around on all of the buildings. So it's a great place to go and see that, but you can also go there and check out fun, hip restaurants or breweries. And that's also going to get you closer to the Ala Moana Beach Park.
Yes.
Okay. This seems like it's an area that is new and up and coming.
Yeah, that's right.
Is it like an old rent, what am I trying to say, warehouse district or something like that? I can't quite picture what it looks like.
Yeah, so it's basically just a regular neighborhood in Honolulu. It does not have that warehouse vibe,
Okay.
but as you walk through the neighborhood, you will see murals around, and throughout the neighborhood, you will find those newer restaurants and a more up-and-coming atmosphere, we would say.
Right, and I do think you are right. I think it's right next to the pier, so I think it was an old warehouse district, maybe even like a fishing district where they used to sell or store products.
Okay. Yeah, I'm seeing it was an industrial area. There are fascinating new industrial areas being redeveloped all around the US, and they make some of the most interesting commercial areas now. It's fun to see cities that are doing that. And I'm not familiar. I think this is all newer since we were there. What else are we going to do in Honolulu downtown?
Well, you can't come to Waikiki or the Honolulu area without doing Diamond Head. I think that's an iconic hike that you have to fight the crowds and go ahead and do it because it's a thing you see on all the postcards. So it has recently opened back up because they're speaking now during the COVID pandemic. But I think the perfect time to go to Diamond Head is right in the evening time, right before it closes. I think it closes around 6 o'clock. So around five, as the sun's going down, you can hike this moderate trail to the top of the volcanic crater, and you can see a nice view of Waikiki with the sun kind of lighting it up.
Okay. Well, and you mentioned a volcanic crater. We are really just adjacent to Waikiki. So basically, right next to Waikiki is this extinct volcano. It's good to know when to go, because yes, crowds. Anything else we want to do while we're in Honolulu?
So we need to get into the museums because I think Oahu's famous for their museums, especially the Pearl Harbor Memorial. But before we get to that, I want to talk about a lesser known museum there, and that is the Bishop Museum. And that's going to be a museum about Polynesian history, and you can really learn a lot for your stay on the island.
I was hoping you would get to the Bishop Museum, okay?
Yes. And you might wonder, well, why would I go to the Bishop Museum? It's actually really nice to walk through and see the history of the voyaging. And also, more specific, the Hawaiian history. It'll also make more sense for your stay here in Oahu. You'll have more information about the native Hawaiians, the people that live on the island, and how they used to live life.
And I think being around the island, a lot of people don't know when they visit the whole story of how Hawaii become a territory and then eventually become a state. I think a lot of people on the island find that it's a little controversial that even that Hawaii is a state, but the rest of the mainland doesn't really learn about the history of how it became a state. So it's good to go there, and then you can get a good connection with, I feel like, the native people there.
Yeah, good recommendation.
So one more recommendation for the city area is a restaurant. It's going to be called Helena's Hawaiian Food. And I think this is very famous. It always makes the guidebooks, but it's for good reason. It's probably the best place on the island to get Hawaiian food.
Yes, three dishes you have to try there are first short ribs. You can see them hanging there as you're eating because they dry them there in their store. They're absolutely delicious. The sauce they use is incredible. The next dish is hapia, which is a coconut flavored dessert. It kind of has that jelly look and feel to it, but it is a very fresh and airy and coconut flavored dessert that you have to eat on your stay there on Oahu. And then the last one is lau lau. Now that is a Polynesian dish, and it basically, it has a filling. It can be pork or fish. It's wrapped with cooked taro leaves, and taro is a vegetable that grows locally on Hawaii and a delight to eat.
Taro is not universally loved, I would have to say, in terms of taro itself.
True.
But the taro leaves, anything cooked in taro leaves are great. The other thing that appeals to me from the menu that people may be more familiar with also is Kalua pig, and that's the pig that's basically been cooked slowly underground traditionally, which is another great Hawaiian dish.
Yes.
Now, is this kind of like a plate lunch, the typical Hawaiian plate lunch where you get the main and macaroni salad and stuff like that on the side and a scoop of rice?
I think this is more of like a tapa style.
Got it.
So they're just bringing you small dishes and then you can try them out.
Yes.
Okay. Excellent.
So then the next spot we would definitely recommend around the Honolulu area is to go to Tantalus Point. That is the best spot on Oahu for sunset. The drive to Tantalus Point is beautiful itself. You're driving through switchbacks and the environment becomes more and more jungle vibe. You see lots of big trees, and eventually you have to find your parking spot. Parking can always be an issue on Oahu, but once you have your parking spot, you walk to Tantalus Point and you have that complete overview of Waikiki. As the sun is setting, the whole city colors orange and yellow. You have Diamond Head that you see, the sparkle of the ocean. It is such a beautiful view and cannot be missed, in our opinion.
Hmm. I don't know Tantalus Point. Excellent.
Yes.
And you're up in the, and I'm going to have fun anytime I go try and say one of these Hawaiian words. You're up in the Pu'u Ualaka State Wayside Park.
The way I like to think about it is it's in the Manoa area, but I think you are right about the state park.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Excellent. Where else?
All right. So I guess we can't leave this area without talking about driving out to Pearl Harbor. This is something that you want to do more at the beginning of your trip, because you're going to be jet lagged coming into the island. So get up early and go ahead and make it out to the Pearl Harbor Memorial. You will need tickets in order to see the USS Arizona. But once you get out there and see it, it's totally worth getting up and beating the crowds for. I think that all of the individuals who were at the Pearl Harbor attacks that want to be buried within the ship are in there now, so there's no more people left to be buried. So once you go out there, you are seeing the memorial with all the people that
the names
with all the people that want to be buried there.
Well, and when you say buried there, I'm not sure that everybody can picture what we're talking about, but I think most people have heard of the attack on Pearl Harbor, December 7th, 1941. Yeah. And a number of old U.S. battleships were sunk on that day, and there are markers in the harbor where they're resting, and many of them were refloated and actually saw service later on in the war. Mm-hmm. But the Arizona was completely destroyed. It basically sunk, and it sunk very quickly with most of its crew, and the Arizona Memorial actually straddles this sunken ship, and it sunk, oddly enough, kind of straight down, and so you're looking down on the ship. The other yes. place that I would recommend for people, if you are a fan of history, obviously the Arizona Memorial is wonderful, but also the USS Missouri mm-hmm. is anchored nearby, which was not in the Battle of, I don't believe it was there during Pearl Harbor, but I could be wrong about that. But it's one of the newer of the battleships, and that was the on the decks of the Missouri where the Japanese surrender was signed. And so you get sort of within this very short distance, the beginning and the end of U.S. participation in World War II.
Mm-hmm. Right. Yeah, that's a perfect place for any history buffs. I actually enjoy just walking through the exhibits to get a refresher on World War II history and mm-hmm. the American home front.
Hey, my name's Otis Gray, host of the Daily Book Club, a daily podcast where I read wonderful old books one chapter at a time. Simple as that. Whether you want to get engaged and lost in a fascinating story that has stood the test of time, or just relax to a good book, listen to the Daily Book Club to get wrapped up or unwind during your day. We'll read classic stories like Pride and Prejudice, The Enchanted April, The Wind in the Willows, beautiful stories all told from start to finish. And you can even do a real book club. Tune into the Daily Book Club Discord and discuss the readings with other book club listeners. However you want to listen, it's your choice. Subscribe to the Daily Book Club on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and everywhere else. New episodes every single day. So sit back, relax, and get lost in the Daily Book Club.
It's a great place to spend at least half a day.
Mm-hmm. Agreed.
Yes. And so continuing on, starting out, we would definitely recommend renting a car in Oahu so you can make your way around the island. That is the best form of transportation, in our opinion. And then we are going to explore the south and east shore of Oahu. Okay. We're starting at Hanama Bay. I think most people will know Hanama Bay. It's a beautiful bay formed within a volcanic cone. And that is the place for snorkeling on the mm-hmm. island.
If you can get in.
Yes, it's pretty difficult at this moment to get in. They've limited the amount of guests and you need to reserve. It's a bit of a hassle, but if you can get in, it's beautiful. The beach in Hanama Bay is gorgeous as well. They have very thin, high-reaching palm trees on the beach. The water can be pretty shallow, so it is pretty easy to snorkel around. Mm-hmm. And we have seen most fish in the water in Hanama Bay.
And you also see the state fish, which is called what?
Humuhumu nuku nuku apua'a.
Very good. Very good. And do you know why that is the state fish of Hawaii?
I do not know.
Because they put it to a vote of the school kids. What should the state fish of Hawaii be? And if you're a sixth grader in Hawaii, you just want to hear everybody else say humu humu nuku nuku apu'a'a. So
that's true.
That's great. They also do that with the monk seals. So if you're going around the island and you see a monk seal, it'll normally have a name which the school kids give it. So I think that's awesome.
Yeah.
Well, and one of the reasons why the Hawaiian names get so long, why you get fish names like that, I won't try and say it twice, and places like Honolulu and the longer names, is there are fewer letters in the Hawaiian alphabet. And so there are very few vowels and very few consonants. And so you tend to put together more syllables. And so you get the thing that I found difficult when you're driving in Oahu, and you do have traffic because we do have population in Oahu, and you're trying to look at that road sign and it starts with an H and it has five syllables. And by the time you've read it, you've already passed it. So it gets to be a little challenge when you're reading some of those native signs. Did it start with an H or did it start with an L? I don't know. So
I think that will be everyone's experience on Oahu.
Yeah, wonderful place to snorkel, though.
Yeah.
So after you do some snorkeling, you definitely want to check out some of the hikes that are on the South Shore. And we actually have three that we really love there. The first one, and one of the more popular ones, is Makapu'u. And this is going to be a paved trail that's going to take you out to a lighthouse. This is a very easy trail. Anybody can do it, but it's beautiful. And it's a great place if you're coming during the wintertime to spot whales.
Mm.
Yes. And at the end of the hike, you will have a small lighthouse that has a red roof. You can't really get to it, but it's a beautiful sight against that deep blue ocean. You will also find some tide pools there. You can spot a blowhole from the distance. It's a short and very rewarding hike.
Got it. Then
the next one that we recommend is Kuli'o'o. That will take you about 4 hours round trip. And what we love about this hike is that you walk through different environments, it seems like. You start out in this overgrown area, pretty dark, and then you walk up and it changes to a pine forest environment. Hmm. So there's lots of light shining through. You can smell the pines. And then as you walk further up, it all opens up and you can see Diamond Head in the back. You can see Coco Crater on the other side. And at the very top, you are rewarded with beautiful panoramic views of the east side of Oahu.
Hmm.
So this hike is the one that we always recommend to people when they ask, where can you get the best views? And a lot of people want to do the illegal hike called the Haiku Stairs or the Stairway to Heaven. because they don't know it's illegal until they get there. So when they ask us which hike is going to give us that panoramic view mm-hmm. of the Windward Coast, we tell them Kuli'o'o.
Yeah.
Got it.
And then the third hike is going to be Koko Crater. And this is going to be another volcanic crater that has, what would you call it, steps?
Yeah, it used to be like an old railway. So you're walking on those like long wooden steps. Hmm. It's not fully repaired yet. So there is a foundation, a Coconut Coalition, and they are repairing the steps as they go. But it's a very, we would say it's a strenuous hike because it's straight up the crater, but it's a short one. And
okay.
at the top, again, beautiful ocean view, and you're looking down into the crater. But that one we would classify as more strenuous.
Yeah, and all hikes in Hawaii, they need a new classification system because yeah. none of them are really moderate or easy. They're all a little bit uphill. So you're going to be sweating by the time you reach the lookout or yes. the end point.
Yeah, I'm reading somebody describing this as your Stairmaster workout for the day. It's 1,000 steps to reach to the top.
That sounds about right.
For food in this area, it gets really hot. So we really like, this is going to be a store that's around the island, but Lanakai Juice, that is where you can get your acai bowls so you can be refreshed. And then if you want some sweets, there's a food truck there called Leonard's Food Truck, and they serve some of the best malasadas on the island. They actually have a big store within Waikiki, but it's always packed, always. So the place to get them with no lines is at the food truck, and it's going to be in the town called Hawaii Kai.
Yeah.
Okay, and a malasada is a Portuguese donut, if I recall correctly.
Yes.
Okay.
That's right.
I think the classic version is just the sugar-coated one, mm-hmm. but you can also get them with chocolate filling, coconut filling, and they always have different things throughout the year.
Mm. Yeah. And so we're continuing on to the windward coast of the island. A town to visit there is Kailua. We would describe it as having boutique shops. There's so much to look at, lots of stores to browse through. You will find island-styled clothing and furniture and a farmer's market on Sundays with the local vegetables. When we do hikes sometimes, we see a local going into the mountains and actually picking fruit. And so in the market, you will see the fruit laying there with the branches still attached to it. There are some critters inside. So it's really freshly picked. And that's why we really like the farmer's market in Kailua. And one thing in the town that we also feel is overlooked is the Manoa Chocolate Factory. It's a small chocolate factory, but you can actually do a free chocolate tasting that is very thorough. And they have so many chocolates that are grown on Hawaii, on all the Hawaiian islands. And what we really like about it is that you can taste the island flavors in them. So they do not use any artificial flavorings, but because there's fruit that grows on Oahu, the fruit flavors actually are in the cacao, so you can taste them in the dark chocolates. That's really awesome.
Yeah, and we say this is free because it is, but you're very likely to be taking home a bunch of the chocolate.
Yes.
Got it.
Absolutely.
And so you can't go to Kailua without going to the beaches there. And other than Waikiki, Kailua Beach was the first beach that we actually saw when we moved to the island. And we were like, wow, I can't believe this exists. It has a turquoise color that I didn't even know beaches could actually have.
Yes.
So that's a beach that you definitely want to check out, and it has good parking. So you're likely to be able to get there without too many worries.
Yes. And Kailua Beach is next to the famous Lanakai Beach. Lanakai Beach is famous because it has the same turquoise-colored water, but you see two islands in the back, the Mokalua Islands. Mm-hmm. They're twin islands, and that's what you see on postcards from Oahu, a very picturesque beach. But we're going to be a little controversial and not recommend to go to that beach because it's extremely difficult to find parking. It's in a residential neighborhood, and good luck finding a spot. But we would actually recommend to either go to Kailua or the neighboring town, Waimanalo, where you have Kaiona Beach. And we would venture out to say that this is our favorite beach on the entire Windward side. It is very local. You will see families grilling out here, and they stay the entire day. There are beautiful palm trees on the beach that provide lots of shade. and the water is so clear and so blue. We actually snorkel there and we see a good amount of fish. It has an extremely relaxed vibe.
Generally in this area, you have some of the most amazing beaches on the island. And of course, all the guidebooks and a lot of news sites will highlight Lanikai Beach.
Yes.
But the stress it takes to get there is going to outweigh its beauty.
Yes. Because
it's sometimes taking people 3 hours to get out of their neighborhood there.
Yeah, oh,
so
wow.
We can't recommend Lanikai Beach, but there's so many within that range that that you can go to.
But it would be nice if you could see that view of Lanikai Beach. And that's why we would say, do the Lanikai Pillbox Sunrise Hike. So you would have to get up pretty early, better chance of finding parking. It's a short hike up, about 20 minutes, a little bit uphill, but the sun actually rises behind the two twin islands. So it's a beautiful sight. The beach, the mountains, and the twin islands get beautiful orange and yellow colors. And that's, in our opinion, the better way to see the two twin islands on Lanikai Beach.
Excellent.
And so if we continue up the coast, we're going to get to the town of Kaneohe. And this is the place where we're going to have our favorite thing to do on the island and the number one thing you cannot miss when you come to the island. Mm. And that's going to be the Kaneohe Sandbar. And there's two ways to reach the Kaneohe Sandbar. It's going to be by kayak or by boat. And what it's taking you to is this pretty much, it's a sandbar, so kind of like a beach out in the middle of this bay. And once you get out there, if you go out there during low tide, you're going to be able to stand on the sand, and then you're going to have the Koh Lao mountain range all behind you. It's probably the most picturesque spot on the island, and it's perfect for just lounging the day away, and you can do some really good snorkeling there.
Yeah, so basically you're on this beach in the middle of the bay. The water is surrounding you from all sides, and people bring hammocks, they bring beach umbrellas, their books. They even bring volleyball nets, and they just have a good time out there. It's really unique.
That's funny. Huh. And no shade at all. So
No. No shade.
You have to bring your own shade.
Right.
Yes. But when we snorkeled there, we actually saw several Hawaiian green sea turtles. It's such a beautiful spot. And because it's a protected bay, the waters are incredibly calm. So we kayaked our way out there, and it's fairly easy because there aren't really any waves.
This is also the number one place, I think, in the world for hammerhead shark breeding. So you might see some hammerhead sharks out there. Not to be too fearful of them, they're harmless. There's never been an attack, but it's really cool that you might be able to see that while you were there.
Mm-hmm. Hmm. Two other spots to check out in the town of Kaneohe is the Ho'omaluhia Botanical Garden. It's a beautiful botanical garden that most people, when they take pictures of a garden in Hawaii, it's in that one. It's very large. You can walk around, do some trails around there, and see plants and trees from all over the world. And the backdrop is, of course, the beautiful, high-piercing Koh Lao mountain range, a very nice place to have a picnic or have your lunch before you head on to the Byodo-in Temple, which is very close to the botanical garden. That's why I recommend to do them together. And as you drive to the Byodo-in Temple, the temple just suddenly appears. So you have no idea this beautiful Japanese-inspired red temple is there. Most people do not know it's there. And when they have seen it, they just respond, oh, wow, I didn't know this was there. This is so beautiful, such a nice, quick trip to do when you're in Kaneohe.
Yeah, the Byodo-in Temple is actually a replica from a Japanese temple.
Yeah.
I'm forgetting that. I think it's in Kyoto. It's going to be a replica, and it's actually a graveyard. Sounds so dire, but
yes, but
it is in a graveyard. But it's very common to go out there to see it. I think it's a $5 entry.
Yeah.
It's kind of where you're going to find your peaceful setting on the island.
Yeah.
The temple is a replica of the Byodo-in Temple, which is a UNESCO World Heritage Site in Uji, Japan.
Uji,
Japan. Oh, okay. So for food in the Kailua and Kaneohe area, definitely Kono's. That's where you can get your Kailua pork in all kinds of ways, in a wrap, in a bowl. It's delicious. It will cost you about $10 for one meal, and it's a pretty good, decent size. We also used to get poke at the grocery store Foodland. In our opinion, they have the best poke.
Yeah, and on the island, everybody has their restaurant that serves the best poke. But the Foodland grocery store is where you can always make sure that you're going to get that same quality poke each and every time.
Yes.
And poke being a raw fish, seasoned raw fish bowl for people who are not familiar. Yeah.
Yes, exactly. So poke is chopped up raw fish. We really like the spicy ahi,
okay,
which is tuna. Mm-hmm. They serve it with rice, warm rice, and usually with seaweed sprinkles on top as well.
Okay.
Yeah. And then we recommend the Waiahole Poi Factory. Now, this is your, it kind of looks like an abandoned shack next to the road, but it is where the locals go. You order your food through this hole and you see them make it behind you. And it's a very interesting experience, but it is also where you get your lau lau, your hapias, and poi, hence the name Waiahole Poi Factory.
I can't seem to get a taste for poi.
Okay.
That's something
this is what we talked about earlier. This is the taro dish that is traditional. Yeah.
I think the kicker for this place is what's called the Sweet Lady, and that is an ice cream. It's a hapia ice cream that has hot kulolo in the bottom,
which is taro.
Okay.
But it is a delicious combination. Actually, Denny's co-worker recommended us to eat the Sweet Lady, and it is extremely delicious. Definitely get the Sweet Lady when you go to that spot.
It's the best dessert on the island.
Yeah.
Okay. Even if you don't like taro, you can recommend it. Interesting.
Even
okay.
If you don't like taro. Yeah.
For a date night on Oahu, and if you want to make that one big expense on food on the island, we would say go to Haleiwa Joe's in Kaneohe. Now, the food is good, but what you go there for is the setting.
And that's more of an upscale setting. The food is pretty good, but you go here for the views.
Mm-hmm.
So it's this beautiful wooden style restaurant, also kind of tucked away. It is worth asking for that deck seating. You might have to wait a little longer, but then you have a complete view of the high piercing Ko'ala mountain range. They have tiki torches outside. And it's a beautiful view, especially when the sun is setting. So that's a restaurant we would recommend for a date night, for a little more upscale dining.
And if you are a meat eater, then you want to check out their prime rib, which is what they're known for. And it is huge. It'll keep you full for at least 3 days.
Yes.
Well, and we should say, when you talk about this view in this valley, you know, I hear it described as lush.
Yeah.
You mentioned that we're on the windward side of the island. And what that means for the Hawaiian Islands and for islands in general is the windward side is the wetter side of the island. And therefore, the not that any side of the island is not green, but it's the greener, lusher portion of the island. And so here you're looking out at one of these valleys with this kind of green, lush vegetation. But it also means sometimes you're not going to be able to sit outside because it's going to be raining.
Yeah. And that's a very good point you're making. So when we actually had our dinner there, it's so common to just have a very short rain cloud coming in, which happened in our case as well. But then you see those kind of mist clouds coming in on that around that mountain, which is also a beautiful sight. And when you have your desk seating in Haleiwa Joe's, you do have a roof over your head, so you're not getting wet.
Okay.
And because it's the rainy part of the island, this is also a place where you want to do your waterfall hikes.
Yeah.
So
sure.
A couple waterfall hikes that I can recommend is one is the Lulu Mahu waterfall hike. You're going to need a permit for it. I think it costs like $1.
Yeah.
But you're going to go through like bamboo forest until you reach the waterfall hike. That's about, I think it's 80 feet, but it's beautiful. It's where you can get those Instagram pictures. Another waterfall hike that recently closed, but should be opening up in 2024 is the Mani Willi Falls hike. Another beautiful hike to do. Both of these, though, moderate hikes. And we never actually got to do the most famous one, which is the Manoa waterfall hike. They say it's beautiful, but we have never did it. So we'll have to go back to the island to try it out.
Yeah. And prepare to get extremely muddy when you do a waterfall hike.
Okay, sure.
Moving on to the north shore of the island, that is where you will find the surfer's paradise. When you talk about surfing on Oahu, people always talk about the North Shore beaches. You have this 7-mile miracle there, which is a 7-mile stretch of beaches with rougher waves, and that's where you will find the surfers do their thing.
Yeah, and that's going to be during the winter time. So if you're there in the winter and you go to those beaches, just watch and learn. You don't want to get in the water. There's a heavy undertow there.
But it's really nice to watch them do their thing. A beach to go there, though, that we really like is Kawela Bay. Also a more unknown beach. And again, because it's in a bay, the waters are more calm. Again, you have to park outside and kind of have a short 5-minute walk to the bay. But it's beautiful. You have lots and lots of palm trees. These actually do have coconuts in them, so it's not advised to lay under the palm trees. But the beach is beautiful. The sand has a very light color. The sand grains are a bit thicker. We have seen turtles laying on the beach numerous times. And this beach never gets crowded.
Well, maybe after this podcast.
I think you overestimate the reach of Amateur Traveler, but the one, especially considering, you know, the governor just told us not to go to Hawaii at the time we're recording this. At the moment, they still want you to come, just not at the current moment. The one question I would have for people, for you rather, is when we went to Oahu, we stayed in Waikiki and then we stayed in the North Shore. Mm-hmm. Would you actually recommend we stay perhaps also on the windward side and spent more time there? We kind of drove through the windward side. How many different places would you stay in a week-long itinerary as you explored Oahu?
So it depends on the person. If you like to have a little bit more isolation, I think the Turtle Bay Resort on North Shore is awesome, or maybe the Ko'olina Resorts. They passed a law in Oahu a couple years ago that said you couldn't have any Airbnbs that were outside of the tourist area. So it's actually kind of difficult to stay on the windward coast, but it's very easy to get there from Waikiki. You're going to take
The H3.
Through the tunnel?
Yeah. Which is an amazing drive. So yes. I would just recommend that unless you want some isolation, stay in Waikiki and rent a car. I know the prices are really expensive now, but they have to come down.
Yeah. And the island isn't too big, so it won't take you that long to reach the other parts of the island. So yeah, we would recommend to just stay in Waikiki.
Interesting. Yeah, I mean, we enjoyed staying elsewhere, but it really is going to depend on what kind of lodging you can find.
Yeah.
Because the Turtle Bay Resort is lovely. It is not a budget resort.
No, it is not. No. And so you have 3 resort areas on Oahu, which is Turtle Bay, the Ko'olina Lagoon, and Waikiki.
Okay.
And that's where you will also find your short-term rentals, what Denny was talking about, like an Airbnb or a B&B.
Right.
It is difficult to find those in the other areas because a minimum has to be a 30-day stay.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Yes.
And like you mentioned, when you get outside of Waikiki, it can get really expensive. I know the Ko'olina Resorts, they have the Disney, the Marriott, but you need to put in some money for it.
Yeah.
Got it. Okay.
Let's say you're on Oahu and you missed the Ho'omanuhia Botanical Garden in Kaneohe. There's another one on North Shore called Waimea Valley. This actually has a waterfall, a very powerful waterfall at the end, and that's a very nice trail to walk to. You will see lots of plants and flowers again, and this beautiful waterfall at the end. And a town that cannot be missed in North Shore is Hale'iwa. That's where you will also find the famous food trucks in North Shore, where you can eat delicious garlic shrimp.
Let's go back to Waimea Valley so that we can tell you what to expect when you go to the Botanical Garden. The Botanical Garden at Waimea Valley is going to have plants from all around the world, but they're also going to have native Hawaiian plants. And so if you're into looking at plants and enjoying them, either Waimea Valley or Ho'omalehia is the place that you want to go.
Okay.
So from North Shore, we're going to go through the central Oahu Valley, and that's where we're going to pass the Dole Plantation. The Dole Plantation is super popular on the island, but we're going to recommend that you either stop by to get an ice cream or not stop at all. It is always very packed, and for me, it feels like a fruit amusement park.
You say that in a bad way. Can I get a Dole whip is really the only question I have.
Yes. Right. And of course, the pineapple is delicious on Hawaii, but we have an alternative to the Dole Plantation.
Okay.
So if you like history, you are going to want to go to the Plantation Village. And what this is they have these old houses that the old plantation workers used to live in. So they'll have houses from people who moved there from China, from Japan, even Puerto Rico, all these different places, all these different groups of people that you can learn about how they lived and how that shaped the Hawaiian culture, because many of those immigrants stayed there and lived on the island.
Mm-hmm. Yes. And so it's called the Hawaii Plantation Village.
Excellent. A lot of the actual plantations from pineapple, there really isn't a lot of pineapple grown on the island as much anymore as there used to be. A lot of that went to the Philippines because of labor being a lot cheaper. But it was a very critical portion of the history of Hawaii and very much tied in with what you were talking about before with the Polynesian history and why Hawaii became a state and all of the power of the plantation owners and things like that that we saw in the Bishop Museum. So
exactly.
So from here, we're going to go to the most least talked about part of the island, but we think it's a part that you shouldn't miss. And that's going to be the west side of Oahu. So the reason you should go to the west side is mainly just for its beaches, beauty. There's a different mountain range here called the Waianae Mountain Range. Mm-hmm. There's all of these things that you can find there that you can have an adventure with little to no people.
Yes. And we would say that the hike you cannot miss on the west side is called Kaena Point. It's at the corner of the island, you can say. It's literally where the road ends. And that's where you will find that black rock lava shoreline. You're walking right next to the shoreline to the tip of the island, and you have that dramatic blue ocean just crashing into that black rock. We have seen monk seals there. They're playing in the tide pools. And at the end is actually a protected bird sanctuary where you can see large albatrosses. And it also has a special meaning to the local people because that spot is called the Spirit Leap, where souls would jump off to meet their ancestors.
Okay. Not that we are recommending that people do that, but...
No, absolutely not. No. And then another hike, if you feel like doing another hike, is the Ma'ili Pillbox hike. It's a short hike up, and you will hike to 5 pillboxes in total. It's a short and rewarding hike, looking over the beautiful ocean.
And of course, I don't think we mentioned what the pillboxes are. The pillboxes are from World War II, and they were there for troops to look out for the incoming Japanese.
Right.
So they are placed all around the island, and they make up a lot of the greatest hikes on the island.
Definitely.
Yeah, I mean, we forget about the fact that if you lived in the Hawaiian Islands after December 7th, you were afraid you were going to be invaded, which isn't completely crazy because there actually was at least one island of the U.S. or a couple different islands, including one in the Hawaiian island chain, that were invaded in World War II. So one of the Aleutians was held by the Japanese, and then, of course, they tried to invade Midway, which is further up the Hawaiian island chain.
Two beaches that we recommend on the west side are Makua Beach and Papa'one'one Beach. I know that's a mouthful, but let's start with Makua Beach, close to Kaena Point, so further down into the west side. Not a lot of people come here, so that's where you will find the beach with more of a deserted feel.
Okay.
There will be people there. It's a very wide stretched sandy beach, beautiful Waianae mountain range behind you. And also here you can see turtles. We have seen groups of dolphins swimming by. Beautiful beach.
And the reason people don't come to this beach is because it's so far off the beaten path.
Yeah.
You're only going to get here by a car, so you'll need to drive. But sometimes you can get a spot on the beach and not see anybody else. So this is going to be our favorite beach on the island.
Yeah. And then Papa'one'one Beach, it's a great little hidden beach with clear blue waters. And what we really like about this beach is, again, not a lot of people. And you will see a big black rock that's right next to the beach called Lahilahi. And again, a really nice beach on the west side of Oahu.
And when you come to the island, you want to hang out at the beach, probably like the local people do. And the way they hang out at the beach is they make it a full day affair where they bring coolers and tents and they just have a good time playing music and swimming. It's a full day thing.
Yeah.
And my understanding is that is also sometimes known as Turtle Beach.
Yes.
That kind of wraps up.
We're back around.
Yeah.
We really love the islands. We really want to share all the great things to do.
Yes.
But it's probably impossible to enjoy everything that we talked about within 1 week. So yep. I would say pick out a couple of things that you really enjoy and go for them. There's always a second trip that you can do to the islands.
Excellent. Anything else before we get to some of our wrap-up questions that people should know before they go to Oahu?
I would say that you need to take it slow. That's the aloha lifestyle. You're on vacation. Try to be like the local people. Don't get in a hurry. Don't get upset if you're in traffic. Just take it easy, chill, and have a good time.
Yeah.
And best time of year or best day of the year to be on Oahu?
All year round, really, because the summer months have something different, as do the winter months. Like we mentioned before, in the winter months, you can see whales, which is a beautiful sight to see. We've actually seen multiple whales, also like a mother and a calf that were swimming along the coast. But if we would have to pick, we would say that the spring months are our favorite months on Oahu. It's not too hot yet. Mm-hmm. At least on the windward coast, the rain isn't as much as it is in the winter time. And you have lots of beautiful sunny days.
And since the rain season has just stopped, the entire windward coast is completely green.
Yeah.
And all of the plants are filled with life.
Yeah.
Just stopped now when we're recording this in September, or just stopped in the spring when we're talking about?
So the rain season is during the winter months, and that's when it will rain the most on the island and on the windward side. So the spring months are our favorite.
Terrific. Any particular day of the year or festival, for instance, that we ought to be in Hawaii for?
Ooh.
So when we were living there, it was the COVID time, so there was really no festivals.
Yeah.
But I know that they do a lei festival, and we really wanted to go to that. So if we were going back, we would try to schedule it for when the lei festival comes, and I believe that is in May.
May 1st. Each year on May 1st, you have a lei day. And for those who do not know, a lei is that iconic flower garland of Hawaii.
Yep.
And on Lei Day, what it usually is, it's a really big event on Oahu. We did go out on Lei Day. It was extremely small because of COVID, but people will make leis. You also get the opportunity to make one. And it's supposedly a beautiful flower festival.
Hmm. Excellent. Well, as we get to our wrap up questions, mm-hmm. This is going to be the hardest one. You are standing in the prettiest spot in all of Oahu.
Yes.
Where are you standing and what are you looking at?
Oh.
Versus all those ugly areas of Oahu.
Okay. Which one? No, I think the one spot that comes to mind that will be on the southeast side of Oahu.
Okay.
It's actually called the Kaiwi Shoreline. That whole corner there is beautiful. So if I would have to name a spot, it would be on the top of the Makapu'u Lighthouse Trail, just because the entire coast is made of that black lava rock. It's extremely dramatic with that beautiful blue ocean crashing onto the rocks. It's gorgeous.
Excellent. Denny, different answer?
I think that my favorite spot would be at the Kaneohe Sandbar.
Okay.
If you were standing in the middle and you were looking back out over the bay and the mountain range, that's when you really say, I'm in Hawaii.
Well, and you say the mountain range there, and I think that, Nikki, you were comparing this to Jurassic Park, but it is a surprisingly, stunningly beautiful, rugged mountain range on that part of the island. And it just comes right up from the ocean. So it is a very, very beautiful, it's a very beautiful island. It's a little more crowded than some of the other ones, as we said. A lot of people here, but very beautiful island.
Yes.
And one thing that makes you laugh and say, only in Oahu.
One thing that makes me laugh is when somebody cuts you off to make up, they will throw you the shaka, which is where they stick the pinky and the thumb out and just kind of shake it toward you. And they're saying sorry. That symbol is only in the islands, where that gesture can mean sorry, hi, goodbye, hang loose. Yeah. Only there.
And if you had to summarize Oahu in just three words, what three words are you going to pick?
The immediate words that come to mind is, this is paradise.
Yeah.
Excellent.
That's paradise.
And if we send people back, and our guests again, let me introduce you again, are Nikki Thornton and Denny Caldwell. And if we send people to dennyandnikki.com to your best Oahu post, the one they've got to read before they go, where are we going to send them?
I think that would be the Oahu itinerary.
Okay. That's the from 7 to 14 days on the island?
Yeah.
I figured that you might pick that one.
Yeah. So if you want to learn more about any of the things that we talked about, it's going to be on that blog post.
Yes.
Well, and that's going to take the things we talked about and separate it out into specific recommendations for particular days. So excellent. I'll put a link to that in the show notes. Nikki and Denny, thank you so much for coming on Amateur Traveler and sharing with us your love for Oahu.
Thank you so much for having us. We really enjoyed it.
Thank you, Chris.
Special thanks go out to the patrons who help support the show financially. And this week, a special thanks to Christine Pelliquin, who is the latest patron of the show. Thank you, Christine. If you're also interested in becoming a patron of the show and learning more about what that entails, go to patreon.com/amateurtraveler. I heard from Mark about the show we did recently on Saba, who said, great episode, a lot of great memories, albeit distant ones, agreed with the comments on Turtle Island and Sepalock Forest Research Center and walks. Panganakan was one of the best places I stayed on all of that Southeast Asia trip. Thanks a lot, Mark. Glad you enjoyed that show, and thanks for telling us about your experience there as well. I had a recent review of the show, a 5-star review from Nuwillis2, who said, best destination travel podcast. I've been a longtime listener to AT. Whenever I'm planning a trip, this podcast is where I always start. The guest singers bring places to life, and I'm always adding to my bucket list. Best destination travel podcast out there. Thanks so much. With that, we're going to end this episode of Amateur Traveler. If you have any questions, send an email to host@amateurtraveler.com, or better yet, leave a comment on this episode at amateurtraveler.com. And thanks so much for listening.